Welcome to Shut Up and Ride, sponsored by Charles Owen. I get very overexcited when we have a guest. I get very overexcited. Not only a guest, she's a fucking legend. She's a hero. She's one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast. Some may know her as Gemma Tattersall, but now she is Gemma Stevens. Gemma, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, and it's very good to see you. I've not seen you for a very long time because you buggered off to Canada.
Yeah, I did. I did bugger off to Canada. We also have Simi on the pod.
Hi, hey, Simi. Are we all okay? How are you, Jenny? Are you okay?
I'm in a slightly better mood than yesterday when we recorded a podcast, not going to lie, but you're laughing because you know I'm hungover.
I do know you're hungover. It's a Halloween hangover. So they're really bad.
So, Gem, you probably know this about me, that my love for children that aren't my own is not great. So having to
I'm totally with you there. And I don't have my own, so there's no love.
So having to spend the night walking around running into lots of other people's children whilst they all scream and shout and are fueled up on candy meant that... But in Canada, it's amazing. Some of the doors we trick-or-treated on met us with tequila shots.
Oh, really?
See, that is quite cool.
That's definitely helps you get through the evening.
Yes. And one we went, they'd hung like dolls, like dead babies from their roof. And then they had four kids, like a section, and then four adults. And you opened this Yeti cooler and it was just full of booze. It was like,
That's very cool. But I mean, I personally, I'm not into Halloween. I just don't get it. I hate all that weird stuff. I hate all the dressing up. Don't have time for that. It's just weird. Like the zombie thing, the scary movie thing. Yeah, not my thing.
Oh, I fucking love it. So I'm already laughing. So when I came up with the concept of doing this podcast, you've known me for years now. You were one of the first riders I ever worked with. And I mean, we always have a good hug at the end of a cross country and a sob and all of these things. But I know your personality and you are fucking hilarious. You're so much fun. You're so determined. And I feel like I've never got to share that in our interviews because they're very, like, at home we just talk about your life or we talk about, like, the competition. When I came up with this, and one of the first podcasts we recorded, Simon, didn't we say, who would you like to get on this podcast? And it was you.
We did. Gemma was on that list.
Because I just feel like do you know what I mean? Like, because you are an athlete and you have to be like grown up Gemma, but there is like a whole side to you that I feel like the public has already seen in the first 10 seconds of this podcast.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, there's a very serious me and a very determined me and a very, very, very competitive me. But there's also a very, very silly, stupid me and all sorts of other random stuff that I do in my life. This week, I think my staff actually want to murder me because we're having a bit of an off season time, so the horses are like, well, we got some young ones in and stuff like that, and a couple of the jumpers are still in, but basically I've only got like two or three to ride, so I'm really bored. So I have had everything out, literally, when I say everything, like there's piles of stuff everywhere. I'm like, will you tidy up? We've painted everything. Everything's got washed. Like, it's just been one of those mental weeks. I think my girls are ready to send me back to where I came from, which is in the lorry, basically.
Is that one of those moments where you literally drag everything out into piles everywhere and then you think, oh, actually, why did I start this?
Yeah, I do think that a bit, but then I'm like, the end result is so cool.
Like, very satisfying, especially on a yard like yours.
Yeah, it's so satisfying, and it's just it's great to get back on top of everything because I feel like there have been no ducks in a line. Like, the ducks have been all over the fucking place, and actually a lot of them have been pigeons this year.
So you have been so busy, like the whole way through this whole year you've been so busy. Yeah. How the hell have you managed to fit everything in?
Honestly, I don't really know. But like the last 10 weeks has literally been back to back to back, like either 3 days or away show jumping shows.
Yeah, pick a fucking discipline, Gemma.
nah, that's boring. Why would I do that? yeah, it's been absolutely flat out busy. Luckily, I have a very good team and a very good team that actually ride well as well, because I just couldn't do it otherwise. I couldn't do it without them. But yeah, it's been absolutely bonkers. So it's quite nice to be home for a bit and to get, yeah, to try and get all the ducks in a line again and sort all my shit out.
And this, like, it's like kind of like crescendoed into this amazing win. You are world champion for 7-year-old horses. Unbelievable. So well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So fantastic.
Yeah.
Would you say that's been the highlight of the year?
Yeah, without a doubt, Simi. Because I'm not going to lie. So if you really, really look back at my year, it has been utter shite.
I'm not sure most riders would say that, but this is, we're talking to the most competitive person that I know.
No, right. Let's put things into perspective here, right? Didn't get a placing in a 4-star before badminton because one horse decided that she was going to limp. One horse was off and Chilly Knight was dragging me around like an absolute psychopath because he's been off for a year. We get to badminton, I get to the third fence and think, holy crap, my little two-ring gag that I've been riding him in since he was a 6-year-old has now completely given up the ghost and I can't stop.
By fence three, brilliant.
Yeah.
Long way to go.
Miss, okay, get a 15, should have won badminton. Shit.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. Then just have some pretty average, boring results. Have a show jump down at Bicton and I should have won the 3-star. Obviously, the terrible stuff with Georgie happening, which was just beyond awful for everyone and still is, that actually hit me really, really hard. Found it very difficult to deal with in, you know, my own way. Everyone deals with it differently, but I found it very difficult. I also had some personal stuff going on. My parents have actually split up and sold our family home.
Oh, I didn't know that, Gem. I'm sorry.
So that has been, haven't really spoken about it. But, you know, it's open now. Everyone knows and it is what it is. And they're actually becoming happier people now, which is great. But obviously, when you're like nearly 40 and suddenly a parent, you know, you've had such a strong bond with your family and whatever. And then they're suddenly splitting up. So then that was that. And then we built up for the Derby, you know, Dime Bar's going so well. He's on such brilliant form. Then it rains and rains and rains. And the Derby Bank is doing very funny things and very soft on the top. And Dime Bar decides, no, it's far too dangerous. We're not going down there, mummy. Which was honestly just so out of the blue and just not what I was expecting to happen.
It was such a surprise. I was so shocked when I was watching. I was like, whoa, what the hell?
He's never refused to do anything in his life. But
he went down it so well last year.
And the year before with someone else. So it's just like not what I was expecting. And he was jumping unbelievable up till then. Like he was a foot above every fence. So that was really disappointing. And then, you know, had some sort of okay results. I managed to win Heartbreak 2-star with a 7-year-old, which was nice. But again, just like went to Heartbury trying to be competitive in the 4-star, didn't get a result. Went to Burley. Yeah, okay, got a top 10. But in my little world, I made mistakes in every phase. Should have been in the top 3. I felt massively like I'd fucked up and not being good enough. We go to Blenheim and I do a fantastic dressage test on Jala Jalapeno, right up there on a 23. Literally, she gallops around. I'm near the end of the day and only one person's gone inside the time. We gallop round absolutely superbly to have a stupid misunderstanding at the second last fence. I was 5-6 seconds up on the clock. That's the end of that. She jumps clear on the last day. Should have won Blenheim. You know, and then had really bad fall in the warm-up, show jumping out in Volkensvard. You know when it's just like been thing after thing after thing after thing. And actually I was thinking to myself, Am I just now really rubbish? Am I just really shit? I just completely lost my, like, competitive edge or my ability to actually be any good. Honestly, I had completely lost faith in myself, totally. And
when I, because I messaged Gemma on the night after cross country and in Le Leon, just to say, oh my God, well done, that was amazing, congratulations, good luck for tomorrow, you're going to be amazing. And the messages that I got back were just like, yeah, but it's pretty unlikely to happen, to be honest. And it was just like the most negative I've ever heard you, to be honest.
Because I really didn't think that I would be able to jump a clear round. I just thought this is too good to be true. It's not going to happen. I've had, you know, it's just, it doesn't happen to me anymore. I just, that is exactly what I thought. And Gary was constantly giving me a kick up the arse, but it's like, it's really hard. And I, you know, going into my dressage test, I've never been so nervous to try and do a good job. And then cross country, again, it's just like, I knew I could do it, but it's just getting it done and not fucking up, which is what I felt like I've done all year. And, you know, it was such a relief to finish well and the horse finished well and didn't injure himself, didn't pull a show off or, you know, blah, 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 like they all bloody do. And then, you know, we managed to trot up on Sunday morning, thank God. And then I was thinking all day, I'm like, this is just not going to happen.
It's a long time to wait, isn't it? It's a really long time to get your brain into the wrong place, isn't it?
I didn't even show jump till like 4:15 or something, you know?
You'd almost need to go and compete two other horses in the interim just to keep your brain doing something.
Yeah, honestly, it was absolute hell. Anyway, thank God I finally managed to do something good for this year because, you know, yeah, I know that on the outside, maybe to people, you know, yeah, I've had some success, you know, yes, I've, you know, done well-ish, but not compared to what I have done in the past and not compared to what I really should have done. Just made stupid mistakes and, you know, things that just shouldn't happen. And it didn't used to happen to me, but that have happened to me, I don't know. I always think to myself now, is that the horsepower I've got at the moment or is it me not being good enough anymore? And that's just something I'm totally, you know, talking totally openly to you because that's what you wanted me to do. And that is the honest me. That's the honest truth. You know, I have seriously thought, am I good enough anymore? But you know,
you were talking about the horsepower and your ability. There's a huge element in there that you're missing out, which is the luck thing. Because there is, like, I don't care how hard you work, how well you, there's always an element of luck there. And it just so happens that this year, the luck hasn't quite been there. That little bit, which has just been enough for you to not win badminton, to not win Blenheim.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I think it's the luck. It's nothing to do with your ability. It's nothing to do with the horse. You've got some amazing horses right now.
Yeah, you know, I have been this close to winning badminton and Blenheim this year, you know, and then having a top 10 at Burley, you know, so it's been this close to being a brilliant year.
Yeah.
But it's been a shite year, to be totally honest. But, you know, we finished off with a really, really big, big win and a really big deal, you know, a big deal for me and a massive big deal for my owners, my long-suffering very supportive Chris and Lisa Stone have been incredible, who were put up with me bawling my eyes out at the end of Blenheim after the cross country like an absolute spoiled child. But, you know, like, it's hard. It's hard when it goes wrong, and I was really sorry for them that I couldn't pull off the win at Blenheim, you know, with that horse. And so I was just so chuffed to win on their, you know, I mean, literally these clones are their absolute pride and joy. I mean, when I say pride and joy, they are literally their pride and joy.
Can we just explain, yeah, the clone thing? So you two are so in the eventing world, and a lot of our podcast listeners are listening because we're funny, not just because they're into horses.
Stop being so serious. I've been not ever so serious. I've stopped being
I love it. I love this. This is literally why I wanted you on this. I almost want to just give you a hug through the fucking camera as well. But can you just, when I was looking at the score sheet for Leon and looking at the seven-year-old World Championships, watching this while I was meant to be working at Maryland, I was like, I'm just going to see how Gemma's doing. What was extraordinary for me, because I've not really been following the whole clone thing and where you guys have been at, to see a chilly morning 1 and 2 in the positionings after dressage, I was like, what the fuck? What have I missed?
The fact you did exactly the same dressage score was just unreal.
So can you explain how there are two chilly morning horses on the circuit competing in the seven-year-old championships with the same breeding for those people who aren't up on what's happened in the world of cloning horses?
So actually, there are three clones.
Yes.
In total. Alex Bartan has got the other clone. So obviously, how many years ago, would have been like 8.5 years ago or so, they took a biopsy from the original Chilly Morning, and with the idea that they would create one clone of him, partly to keep the breeding and to keep the line, because he was such a fantastic horse, but his semen wasn't very good. And secondly, just as a project, you know, they're very passionate people about the sport and they absolutely adored that horse, and they thought it would be the most amazing fun project to do. So off this biopsy went, and ended up not only multiplying but triple. And the people in Texas, in America, when they did it, they obviously had the three, which is like one in, well, it's never happened. It can multiply, but it's never ever gone into three. So they thought that, well, one will die in the mare, or one will die, you know, being born or whatever. So they didn't tell them they had three until they were a week old on the ground, and they rang the stones and said, you've got three. And they could not believe it. It's like a movie. Anyway, the three of them clearly have survived, and they got flown over as they were like 10 months old, 11 months old. And then I had them until like this time of their 4-year-old year. So we looked after them. Yeah. I broke them in, produced them a bit as 4-year-olds, and then they went off. Julia had her one and Alex had his one, sort of around this time as their 4-year-old year.
That is crazy. And you've had experience with all three of them. Yeah. And you had Chilly. For anyone who has lived under a rock, Chilly Morning was basically William Fox Pitt was probably the most famous horse of his, and Nick Gauntlett started him, and then you had him in his later life and he retired with you, and then he was just the most incredible little feisty horse. Didn't Mary King have him for a while as well?
Yeah, she had him, but she couldn't hold him.
Yeah, he was so knew his personality, and you've had these three. Obviously, their breeding is exactly the same, and they are the same genetically.
They're the same.
Yeah. Mentally, what are they like?
So they're definitely slightly different. It's a little bit like having identical twins. So although they can look the same, they can be slightly different in their in their brain. So if you was to take a biopsy from both of them, they would be genetically the same. But they are slightly different. So my one, for example, he as a stallion, he was simply impossible. He was a raging dickhead, basically. And just all he could think about was his penis.
Sounds so like my husband.
I was like, this is just not okay. Like, all we think about is that. So he had to have those little nasty little bully bullies off. So we did that at the beginning of this year, and oh my god, it has been so much better since. Just so much more concentrated, not standing on a hind leg screaming one's head off when we get to a show. It's like beyond embarrassing.
Did they take anything, any semen off him before?
Yeah, so we've got 40 to 50 frozen doses, good doses, from him. And actually Julia's one, I think, is going to have some more taken. So, but yeah, they all are very slightly different, but also very, very similar, obviously, in many ways. You know, they have an opinion, but they are very trainable. They all gallop unbelievably. They've all got beautiful softness and kind of flexibility on the flat, which makes them so lovely to ride. They've all got slightly difficult mouths. They all like a very similar bit, although the riders are different. So we have ridden them in different bits, but actually a lot of what we do is similar, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's an amazing thing, and it's just really interesting. I find it really interesting. I know Julia finds it really interesting, and the Stones, and so does Alex. And the Stones are honestly, they're just loving the journey.
I bet they are. I mean, it's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you had anybody that's been negative about it?
Yeah, there is negativity about it. There's no doubt about it. You know, there are people out there that are negative that say that it's wrong to clone and all that.
Look, ethically not quite right.
Ethically right. Okay, fine. You know, everyone is welcome to their opinion, of course. And to be honest with you, I'm very actually on the fence about it. I'm not going to say right or wrong. Is it right to clone? I don't know. Is it wrong? Is it right? Pass. All I know is that I've got this wonderful, wonderful horse who I love, and that I don't think of him day to day as Chilly Morning Clone. I just think of him as Quattro, his stable name. He's my horse and I love him, and I love training him and love competing him. And
the end.
The end. So stuff it. I'm just going to ride him. And love, and you know, I adore him. I love looking at him because he's just beautiful. So let's just carry on looking at him and writing him. Stuff
it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, you're competing against his, do we say his brother? I suppose it is his brother, isn't it?
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. I guess sort of.
His clone. You can't just his say clone. His clone.
I mean,
yeah.
There is so much weirdly to unpack. The fact that you're competing, because they are clones, if we could like investigate like the science then behind how riders ride differently, because if the horses are the same and you say you use different bits, that in itself is so interesting. But also there's quite a lot of pressure, because you're like, well, we know this horse can go well, and if one's going well and one's not, it's like, well, can only be the rider's fault.
Honestly, when Julia went in to do her dressage at Le Leon, I was like, oh God, she looks... I mean, Julia is really pretty, isn't she?
She is very pretty. She's also got that body that is just built for horse riding.
Absolutely fucking beautiful. She's got these cheeks that are like this.
Perfect bone structure.
Beautiful bum and legs and like body.
Her legs are amazing.
I'm like... oh no. And she's gone in the ring and she's trotted around, and the horse is like absolutely beautiful on the bit in this relaxed frame, looking absolutely fucking beautiful. And she's sitting like a complete goddess with her high cheekbones and her beautifulness. And I'm like, look at me with my fat thighs and my double chin, and like, oh my God. God, it's just terrible. That's all I could think about, honestly.
You're obviously more beautiful than you realise, because you went to the same mark.
Yeah, you got the same mark. So no. Fuck your cheekbones.
I nearly cried when I came out. I was like, what? Honestly. Oh, God. That's all I could think about. For like a whole day, because I was the whole day after her.
Love
it. Trying to be as beautiful as bloody Julia. Anyway, she was very lovely about it. You know, I mean, she is just beautiful. And the horse looked beautiful. So I literally spent a whole day, you know, training and trying to sit up really, really tall and elongate my legs.
Yeah. Everything. I am Julia. I am Julia.
I am Julia.
And getting yourself into the right mental state.
Like this.
Yeah. It's all right. You're funnier.
Well, something like that.
Desperate.
And you got the same fucking mark. It blows my tiny. I have a tiny hungover mind, and this has blown it.
Yeah, no, it was weird. It was really weird. Yeah, I was trending just below that mark all the way through, and then we just made one little mistake at the end, which was a little shame. But it was actually really cool to be on the same mark, and it got everyone talking. And you know, everyone in the press conference, as you can imagine, were like mad for it. So yeah, it was just weird but cool, and yeah. You know, they're lovely horses at the end of the day, and they've been well, you know, we have worked hard to produce them well.
And you had to jump a clear round in the show jumping.
Yeah, horrendous.
So we've talked before about your, like, how you are with, like, you get very, very nervous, don't you? You're very open about that.
Yeah, I get really nervous, and I get really nervous because not really necessarily because I'm scared, although obviously when we go to badminton and Burley and places like that, there is the scared factor, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I think if you're not scared when you're at Burley and badminton, then there's something seriously wrong with you.
Yeah. Well, mate, you get scared when you're doing cross-country schooling, so.
I hate cross-country schooling. Absolutely hideous. I mean, Simi, can I get you to school on my horses next year?
No, because I'm just as bad as you, mate.
It's absolutely
hideous. If you want to jump 90 and 100, fine.
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, but I don't even like doing that. I get all nervous. Anyway.
So, but how do you deal with this? Because clearly, like, you go from nervous Nelly to the feistiest person out there.
Yeah,
like,
I don't really know.
How do you do it?
I don't really know. I think because I'm really competitive. And a recent thing that I keep telling myself that I know that Laura definitely has, you know, said this, and so has Tommy said this. You know, I always think, okay, yeah, this what we're doing this because we love it, right? And we're doing this, and that, and then when we do well, we put pressure on ourselves. Well, pressure is part of why we do it, because we want to do well. So therefore, that pressure is because we've done well, or we have got the ability to do well. So then, therefore, pressure is a privilege because we're doing well. Does that make sense? So then I was like, walking down to cross country start, and I'm like looking around. There's like a million people there, and I looked down at the horse, like, come on, we can do this. We're fine. We've done all our homework. We're ready. He's ready. I know we can do this. Pressure's a privilege. Basically, get the fuck on with it.
Yeah.
Stop being a pansy. And then as soon as I'm out of the start box, I'm like a girl on a mission.
Because I'm not as brave as you are, but and I struggle with nerves massively. But it's interesting that you've said that about the privilege thing, because that's something that I think of quite often. Like when I'm properly crapping myself about doing something that's big and important, I'm like, you're so lucky that you're feeling like this. You're so lucky to be doing this at all. And I find I take a lot of strength from that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think to myself, you know, now and again, I think, you know, would I want a normal life? You know, sometimes I think to myself, you know, when you've been away and you've like, you're so busy, you can't keep up, you can't even do your own, you can't even do your washing. Do you know what I mean? You haven't even got time to literally do the shopping or the washing. And you think to yourself, God, it would be so nice to get my life to be normal for a minute.
You're too far into it, mate, now.
Yeah.
Too far into it.
Well, I've been at home for 5 days and I'm really bored. But it's nice because I am getting stuff sorted. But I know in myself that there is no way in a million years that I could do a normal job, because I've never had a job as such in my life. And I've always just done what I've done, worked hard, yes, but being my own boss and done what I'm done and, you know, had my own mission. So then I think to myself, well, get a grip, because you wouldn't be doing anything else anyway. So get a life and get on with it.
See, this is what I really like about this. It's like, normally people are like, yes, well, I think about visualization and breathing exercises. And whereas Gemma's like, yeah, I just tell myself to get over myself and get on with it.
Yeah, get back on with it. Literally.
You do. I one of my favourite things about watching you is when you go clear, and especially inside the time at a big five star, because you fucking, I love how you rile a crowd up. I love it. I love Celebration Gem.
Yeah. Why not? Honestly, when I finished at Burleigh this year, I know I wasn't quite inside the time, but I was like, yes, because I felt like I rode how I used to ride. Like that on rails.
Vintage Gem.
Absolute cross country, proper cross country rider. Like I used, like I felt like I rode and we were so together and it was just a fantastic round. And it was only because he lost a shoe that I lost those precious seconds at the end where he was just slipping coming down that hill. So that can't really be helped. But I was so frigging chuffed because I just thought, yes, I feel like I'm back after a few years of like either not having a horse at five star or just not being quite on the form that I was. Whatever.
Do you
I don't
think,
know.
Obviously, you had the great Spike Arctic Soul. So I think, you know, the corny phrase, what is it? Three phases, two hearts, one passion. Like, you know, that what they say about eventing. But you and Spike were just such a partnership. And it sounds so cheesy. It's the kind of question I would say at the end of a round interview. Oh, you're such a great partnership. But you two were like soulmates.
Yeah.
And do you think like not having, because when you are nervous and you know you're on him, you went into battle with him and every time you came out winning. So do you think when you weren't on him anymore, do you think that changed? And then coming back from Burleigh, was it a bit like coming back on a round after him?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I don't think just because I didn't have him, I sort of dropped off. I think I sort of lost him and Quick Look and Chica Bellavent kind of like all at the same time. And so it was then rebuild and trying to rebuild with horses that are good, but they are not quite those horses. Yeah. They're not quite as good. They are good horses, but they're not quite as good, if I'm totally, totally honest with you. And so I feel like I'm like little Alfie, honestly, Chilly Knight. Honestly, you wouldn't look twice at that little horse. He is a star because he has the biggest heart and he never, ever, ever gives up or never, ever stops trying his little heart out. But honestly, that horse moves like a sewing machine. He's long in the back, short in the leg. He's got terrible conformation. And if you, honestly, Simon, like if you got on him and canted him over a fence, you would look at me and like be like, what? You jumped him round Burleigh? Like, he's such a funny little thing because he doesn't inspire you in any way, shape or form. He's so plain in every way. But because he tries so hard and he has the biggest heart, he does these five stars. And it's all heart, honestly. And like in the dressage, I mean, he's dreadful. He can't move a dime. He can't walk. He trips over his own feet. You know, I mean, bless him. Do you know what I mean? So I love him, honestly love him dearly, but he's not like, he's not a talent like Spike was or.
Yeah. Yay!
Sorry, James. or Pebbles or, you know, Chica Bella. They were such talents.
Beautiful. You know, beautiful.
Beautiful horses. Like, unbelievable, you know. And Spike, even though he was a bit of a crank, he was actually extremely talented.
Yeah, so talented.
And could do anything. So obviously there's been a gap in horsepower and Jalapeno is is quite talented, but not always wanting to do her absolute best. I have to persuade her that she wants to gallop and jump and, you know, do all those things.
Did you always get on with her from day one or did you find it difficult to take over from someone else?
I actually got on with her very quickly, but the horse was like very shocked at my cross country riding and could not cope with me at the beginning. Cause I was like, right, let's go. And she's like,
really?
Really? This fast? I'm like, this fast? Laura, actually, this is a funny story of Laura. It was one of our first events with her. It was at Withington. And do you remember, did you go to Withington, Simi?
Yeah.
You know, did that like loop right at the beginning, you sort of looped back on yourself and passed the warm up.
Yeah.
And Laura Collett was in the warm up. And obviously I said to the horse, right, come along, move now. We're like, this is like,
we're you off. Know,
get on with it. And Laura said you could see steam coming out of her nose and ears and everything. Like, I can't go this fast. like bumbling along with like no stride and literally not going anywhere. So it did. It took a little while for her to get used to my speed. Yeah, she's still not that excited about going really fast, but she is much better now.
Well, she's doing quite well then, considering.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's she quite likes going at like novice pace. I'm like, well, that's not going to work for me because that means we get time fault.
She and I would get on so well.
Yeah, love it. I think that's a good say.
She's too fast for him.
True story.
For anyone wondering whose weird voice that is in the background, that is Gary.
And yeah, he is weird.
It just sounds like quite a dark voice when you can't see a face to go with it.
The dark gambling crusader. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right, now, I want to talk about Gary because...
Oh, God. You should see his face.
I want to talk about the fact I still call you Gemma Tattersall. I cannot get over calling Stephen.
Yeah, see, there he is.
There he is.
But so... God, it's a bit tricky when he's sat there, but he's a massive part of your... thing now, isn't he? Like, not just husband, he's mentor, he pushes you, he looks after you, he's brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah, well, actually I look after him quite a lot of the time.
Just gonna put that out there.
Yeah. Anyway, no he is a massive part of it, but we're not going to say too much because he is sat here and he won't be able to walk out of this room because his head will be so big. But yeah, no, he has been amazing. And you know, he helps me in so many ways with the driving, the handling of the horses, because he's actually an amazing horseman.
But he's also very good at getting your head in the right place, isn't he?
Yeah, giving me a kick up the ass. Yes.
What's his words? What if you were like having a wobble before you go out? Like, what's the tactic? Is it get the fuck on with it, or is he nice? Like, good cop, bad cop?
So a bit of both, but he will say to me, you have got to remember that you are one of the best. You are one of the best in the world and you can do this. Just do what you do. He often will say, just be you and do what you do because you're very good at it.
See, that's such a great way of doing it.
Yeah.
Because it just puts you in the right place, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because he does believe that, like we all do. And just every so often you kind of forget it, seem to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You just need to be reminded of it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
How did you guys actually meet? Was it through jumping or what?
Yeah, we were actually at a local jumping show and he was in the warm-up and there was a lot of banter, as you can imagine.
And you're like, oh, who's this dickhead?
I was like, who's this dickhead? and then he actually came over to me afterwards and started chatting to me, and he had a hoodie on with his hood up and this like, big blue eyes and this cheeky smile came out from underneath, and I was like, who is this guy coming over to talk to me? And then we got home and got the horses off the lorry and I got a little Facebook message, and
ooh,
I was like,
he dropped into your DMs.
You've got a new friend.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, and it went from there really.
And so he was obviously competing a lot then. He's not competing as much now.
No, he was actually working for a guy, a show jumper, doing a bit of riding as well. And then he actually competed a young horse that I bred, a young stallion that was just too enormous for me. He rode him for a bit and then we sold him. And then he's just been helping me now, really. He doesn't compete anymore. But he helps me on the ground. I don't have a huge amount of like lessons with anyone. Dickie helps me a bit with my cross country, but show jumping wise, Gaz.
I saw a video of you with him cross country schooling at Aston. Like, you'd been show jumping for ages and you hadn't done any eventing, and you went to Aston to like have a school round, and you were schooling around the 3-star track and around the advanced fences.
Yeah.
And I was like, bloody hell, Gemma, I am impressed. because I know how much you hate cross-country schooling, and that's proper cross-country schooling, that is.
I know. He really pushed me that day, and I was absolutely terrified. But, yeah, horrible. But, yeah, so Dickie will help me a little bit with the cross-country. And like, for example, he came to mine before Lillian, and just we just had a little practice with the 2 7-year-olds, and it's just a reminder really, because of the show jumping, you know, it's a little, it is different. You know, you tend to sit in a more forward position, because you know you can't jump through a 150 combination hanging out the back door. You have to be, you know,
I mean, you could try. You're not going to get that far.
It wouldn't work well. It wouldn't work well, Simi.
Yeah, I wouldn't be advising trying that anytime soon.
No. So, yeah, so it's just sort of getting back in that, like, mindset of cross-country riding again. And it's just switching, like, getting in that mindset of switching from one to the other. I've definitely got better at it.
And with the jumping side of stuff, like, you don't get much help with that, well, but obviously Gary helps you with that.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of like videoing and then looking back, watching it back and assessing yourself, or between
or, like, obsessively?
Yeah.
Obsessively. That, like, things like Clip My Horse is absolutely incredible, because they're literally everywhere now, and you can, like, watch back. Gaz always videos as well, so you always end up with 2 videos you can compare. And
what's your main criticism of yourself when you watch yourself back? What's the thing? Is there a thing that you go, oh, I just wish I didn't fucking do that?
No, I think that, you know, there are small mistakes. The thing is, in show jumping...
Mr.
Legate
in the main.
Anyway, oh, shut up. In show jumping...
What did he say? We didn't hear that.
He's being rude about one round that I did at Hixton. I've never let it, like, lived it. I will never live it down.
Yeah, but you were quite good, though, because you did share that. You showed that to everybody.
Terrible. Normally, I don't do that. No, anyway, as I was saying, obviously, when it gets to kind of bigger than 140, the margins for error are, like, minuscule tiny. So then it becomes not necessarily why the fuck did I do that, but I could have maybe just done that a bit better. Like, it's, you know, I could have been this much more off, or maybe this much closer, or this much more canter, or maybe I lost the shoulder on the turn, or, you know, it's like tiny little margins that you're wanting to improve all the time. And it's just being, yeah, I watch my videos back. I'm very critical, you know, and yeah, I send videos sometimes. Like, actually, Rob has helped me a couple of times.
All the jumpers.
And the jumpers, to be fair, are beyond unbelievably helpful. Like, they're amazing. You know, walking the course and stuff, if I've ever got something I'm worried about, you know, they're so approachable, so approachable. It's actually it's a great world. I mean, we love it. We've made some really great friends, and you know, I enjoy going and you know, seeing everyone there and all of that just as much as the eventing.
Every week we say, what has annoyed you this week? And Simon had and what's annoyed him this week, and it happened to be about you. For people who can't see what's going on, Gemma's just turned the phone to face her husband. He annoyed you this week.
Yeah. Right.
Nice.
Is that not like every week?
Well, because he's not been at work, so he's been at the yard helping, which has been very helpful, doing painting and God knows what. But I tried to help him paint today, and he tried to tell me how to paint, at which point I said, do it your fucking self. Went into something.
Because she was putting so much paint on the walls, it was running all down the walls.
I mean,
disappointing.
Seriously?
Disappointing.
So, yeah, thank you.
Fuck are you, Simon. You're supposed to be my friend.
Talking of that. So this is Jenny is talking about it. I didn't say it annoyed me. I just said that I was telling Ben the story. I was show jumping at Arena UK.
This is
and
so
I was
funny.
Walking the course, and I looked over and I saw Gemma Stevens and Gary walking down towards the car park. And I was like, oh, Gemma. So I shouted.
Oh, God, this is ages ago.
And I was like, Gemma, Gemma. And she didn't hear me. So I thought, like, oh, it's all right. I've got a number. I'll just give her a quick shout. So I got my phone out and I rang her and I looked over and she got her phone out of her pocket. She looked at it and she put it straight back in her pocket again. And I was like, she clearly doesn't like me very much. But then I did then look at the results and I realised that she had travelled how many hours? 5 hours? To Arena UK to jump one horse.
Oh, what happened?
And she jumped a clear round, but then she got one time fault. She didn't get through into the next round. And she, to be fair to her, she did ring me the next day and say, I'm really sorry I didn't get back to you, but I was really fucked off.
Bloody brilliant.
Because I got one time fault. But honestly, it made me howl when I was like, oh, yeah, she's put her phone back in the pocket. is it even worse than being red buttoned?
I'm never going to live that down because Sammy's one of my favourite people. I mean, there's not many people I like, but I actually like you.
Just not that day.
Just not that day, yeah.
Honestly, classic. When he told me this story, I just laughed my head off. I was like, that is just so brilliant. We cannot wait to get her on the podcast to discuss this in person.
So funny.
It was very funny.
Oh, God, I've got play soaked now.
So one of the other stories that came out of the pod about you, Gem, as well, was we had Tom Rowland on the pod. And I mean, you think you're competitive, but my God, that boy is competitive. Mm. And I was talking about the fact that he did so well at badminton and was he celebrating? And he was like, well, no, Jenny, you know what we're like. Those guys who've just come back from Paris, it's the next day you're on to Aston the Walls, because if it's not a first place, you've got to get back to it. And I, in my head, I was like, even a top 10, Simon would be out.
I was thinking, I'd be doing cartwheels, mate. Absolutely doing cartwheels. For like several months afterwards.
And Simon was talking about how it's not about the winning, it's about the journey. And then he told this story about you.
Yeah, we were in the collecting ring at Burnham Market. And
was this the beginning of this year? Yeah,
beginning of this year. Yeah, and you're like, oh my God, I just really hope that this weekend goes well and the horses are all right at the end of it. And, da, da, da. And I said to Gemma, I said, oh, the thing is though, Gemma, it's all about the journey, isn't it? And Gemma was like, no, it's not about the journey. I've been doing this job for 20 years. It's about time I won badminton. I don't care about the journey.
I just want to win.
Yes. if she was still Tattersall, it'd be Bratty Tatty.
It would be, yes. Tat the Brat.
Why are you now?
Tat the Brat. Steve the Diva.
Steve the Diva. And that, my ladies and gentlemen, is my podcast title.
Yeah. Cat the Brat, Stephen the Diva, right?
Oh, my God. I do think, though, because I'm like a normal human and you two are not.
No, you're not.
Thanks, Jeff. You're actually not.
It so isn't.
You do have to be a little bit nuts to go round a five-star. You've got to have a little bit of a screw loose. I'm sorry.
Absolutely bonkers. And the derby. When I walked up to those jumps, I was like, this is no part of this is okay.
Like, it's just the derby is honestly. I've stood at the top of that bank, God knows how many times. I've walked it with Shane Breen's almost my favourite to walk the derby course with. But then you have to imagine yourself being on a horse up the top of that.
Yeah, no.
And you can't mimic that in any way, shape, or form in any part of your life. It's just
it's kind of okay if the horse goes. If the horse decides it doesn't want to go, that must be really nerve wracking. You're like, well, what do I do?
I was like, how much do I kick? Because Diane doesn't really like being kicked anyway. He's like, you don't ride spurs. And he's so sensitive. Like, so sensitive. Like, I can't even do my own girth up on him. So I was like, do I kick? What do I do?
I really felt for you in that situation. Oh, I was like, oh my goodness, where do you go from there?
Yeah, what do I do? So I just sort of tried to nudge and persuade quietly and gently. But he was like, no, this is that. It was a hard no. no, mummy, there's something wrong with this bank. I don't want to go down.
It's a bit too slippery today.
Yes.
Right, we're nearly up to an hour. My final question, which is something I've started to introduce. We got this question off a listener, and I think it's brilliant. What is your equestrian ick? Simon's is people who don't have long enough boots.
Long enough boots.
Leather long boots if they're a bit low.
Oh, so mine is definitely clipping.
Oh, not a fan. What? Or bad clipping.
As in doing it or bad clips?
Bad clips.
Mm.
Or
good one.
Hairy horses in the summer. And bloody event riders are like, yeah, but you can do really pretty quarter marks. But the horse has got this really thick summer coat and it's sweating before it has even started. It's like going around with a fur coat on. But it's okay because you can do lovely quarter marks and it's bum.
You can make them look pretty.
But honestly, yeah, I cannot bear people that can't clip horses well. Like bad leg lines, any leg lines, in fact, everything off. No hair allowed.
Are you really good at clipping?
Well, I don't really do clip that much clipping anymore. I have a very good clipper in my yard. Actually, we clipped today. But yes, I used to be a very good clipper. Very good fussy. Clipper. Yes. So yeah, that's my ick. I cannot bear badly clipped horses.
I got a message from someone who the other day who said, a friend of mine, they were like, oh yeah, don't look at the photo. I had to compete anyway and I couldn't finish the clip. I was like, I wouldn't leave the yard. I couldn't go out with a half-clipped horse.
Absolutely not. It's like, not nice. So that is a real ick for me. Like, I agree with the boot thing, but I just can't bear to look at a horse that's badly clipped. I just, no.
And people in their jobs still.
Tram lines.
Yeah.
What was Gary's equestrian ick?
Yes.
No, it's not mine. It's Gemma's other one.
Well, so the other thing is, event riders are not usually guilty of this. But you know, like when you go to the bar in the evening or whatever, and normally you get changed, don't you?
Where is this going?
You put a pair of jeans on or whatever. But no, the show jumpers, some event riders don't get changed. So they go to the bar in their britches. Not cool. Like, hashtag iRide. Just change the frigging britches and put your jeans on. Like, hashtag iRide. Like, it's just like, no. Just we put your britches on. Your
who
jeans
was it
on.
That said that their ick was people that go to big events in jobpers and boots that are just there to watch?
Yeah,
Jenny.
Hashtag iRide.
It was one of Ben's.
Yeah. You're at Olympia and you see the crowd and they're wearing their jumpers and boots. Just in case one of you two has an accident and you might need to call them from the crowd
but
to ride their horse.
Why would you wear your jumpers and boots? Surely it's a nice opportunity to actually be clean.
No, but you see, I used to do this when I was a kid, so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
I know, right?
I just kind of... I thought that maybe Ginny Lang or Ian Stark might let me ride their horses.
She definitely won't answer your call now.
Hashtag I ride, sign me. Oh my god,
I'm a rider.
Yeah
something like that, Simon.
So yeah, there you go. There's two icks of mine.
I love
You've
that
got two.
Those are my favorite. Right, Simon, have you got any more questions for the wonderful Gemma? I feel like you've properly given us, like, you've not held back, Gemma. I love it.
No, well, you knew I wouldn't.
I mean, I have got more questions that I could ask Gemma, but we are nearly into an hour now, and I really want her to come back.
Yeah, I'll
will
come
you
back.
Come back on?
Yeah,
excellent. Will you come to the pub pod?
Oh yes, the pub pod in January. We're doing a pub pod. We're recording it in the pub.
We're going to the pub. There's going to be rooms there, so you can stay, and we're going to basically just record some stuff, and we're going to hopefully have a load of people there. It should be really fun. It's in January.
Oh yeah. When in January? Make
23rd
sure not
of Jan, we're hoping.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Excellent.
I think love that little look to the side. It goes up. We are going.
You're only allowed to come if you come in your riding gear, though.
No.
And hairy.
I'm going in jumpers and rubber boots.
Jumpers and rubber boots. All right, sheep shagger.
How do you know about that?
Not okay.
I really am going to make you do this now. What size boot are you? I'm going to get you some rubber boots. I bet you can get them on Amazon.
That, I mean, that's just shockingly bad, like really bad.
Jenny, honestly, I won't. Don't even think about it.
Put it out of your head.
I'm really cool now, 40 years on.
Right. Well, should we leave it there? Gemma's laughing.
Gemma, thank you so much for being That's so amazing okay. and giving us your time. Nice to see you, Gary.
And you.
This is genuinely... No, the only problem with me and this, so we're starting a YouTube channel, so this is not just for people to listen to. The video is going to go up. But I've spent most of this podcast, because I've enjoyed listening to you so much, like this. Just staring gormlessly at the screen. This is just going to be so embarrassing. I kept looking at myself in the video going, back away from the camera, Jenny.
Jenny, you look great. Don't worry.
Oh, thanks, Simon. We just need to find you a screen big enough to fit your hair into. I know, it's gorgeous, isn't it?
I've had it cut today. She didn't. Well, it was about it was twice the length, mate. It was twice the length before.
Emma, it has been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Please come back again.
No problem.
Hopefully, you can come to the podcast. To the pub pod. I can't even talk now. Oh my god, my face. I think actually, I've laughed so much. My cheekbones are now almost like Julia's.
Oh, I mean, very good. Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Thank you very much. Right. All that's left to say is, Gemma, shut the fuck up and ride.
Love that.